When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome back to the Last Lap podcast. It's Tomo, Niren.
You know the score, ladies and gentlemen.
Back again. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Ah.
I don't want to get DMCA'd.
It's too good, mate. How are you feeling? I'm be honest, I'm wearing a shirt because I've just come from like a
yeah,
wedding.
You're looking very fancy.
Like post-wedding breakfast. But it was quite a late night last night. So I do apologize if I'm going to try and bring the energy. Okay, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
I had full fat Coke on the way.
We've got to bring the energy. There's Formula One to talk about. But yeah, no, I feel like we're tired boys today, but we're going to untire ourselves. For you guys,
we are dedicated to the cause. So, Niren, I first want to talk about the Qatar Grand Prix coming up this weekend.
Indeed.
Sprint race weekend. Max can win the title in the sprint.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen a bit of dialogue around this, people being a bit unhappy, the idea of Max Verstappen winning the title at the sprint race.
Yeah.
I don't care. How do you feel about it?
You know what it is? I don't care. Because it's going to happen anyway.
Yes.
So realistically, you might honestly, he could win it midweek, and I wouldn't care.
Well, he's already won it.
Yeah, exactly. They could deliver him the title like just whilst he's having his breakfast on a Tuesday, and I'd be like, yeah, fair enough, mate. It was coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, if he wins it at sprint, whatever. But it's part of the race weekend now, so you've got to understand that in seasons where. You know, where a title isn't as closely fought, you can still, at any point where points are awarded, you can win the title. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you won it on a fastest lap, it would be different to the olden days. If you won it on a sprint weekend, it'd be different to the olden days.
Yeah.
He's going to win it regardless. So I don't have a massive problem with it. What I have more of a problem with, to be honest with you, is the fact that we've got a sprint weekend at Qatar. I don't really like that as a sprint weekend track. I'm not going to lie.
I do wonder how they went about choosing the tracks for the sprints this year.
I reckon they just put it in like a bingo. You know the wheel that they have, like the ball of a bingo.
Classic.
Until I went to bingo recently. and you spin it around and there's all the balls and the thing, like the lottery.
I like that.
It comes out. I reckon I just did that.
I used to work
88, two fat
Gala ladies. Bingo.
Qatar, sorry.
That was my uni job.
Really?
Bingo. Yeah, in Bournemouth. Yeah.
Was it bingo? Or was it
to be fair,
student bingo?
So no, it was bingo. But I worked at Gala Bingo, but I actually worked in the area with all like the machines, like the slot machines, and all that kind of stuff.
So
I had to cover a couple of times on the like running around, and someone won like a grand, and I got to give him the envelope.
Pretty nice. It's actually 2 grand, but you just took the envelope. You're like, yeah, I'll have a bit of that, mate. Cheers.
I'll add that to my pay packet. Take that. I mean, look, uni, it was tough times, you know, just living on rice and ketchup.
Tough times never last.
Do what you
got to
do.
Yeah, facts, you got to. But I honestly normalize going to the bingo all the time with your friends.
Yeah.
Not just old people called like Deirdre and stuff.
The young bingo.
Formula One bingo. F1 drivers go bingo. I think that's content.
That is content, I reckon. Yeah. I like that. And they did the little reunion, by the way, content-wise, of George, Alex and Lando, which is pretty cool.
Oh, did they? Actually,
yeah. But anyway, sorry. We digress.
They're by bingo.
I think it would be a bit annoying if it was the final race of the season and it was a sprint.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that, yeah.
But I think at this stage, like, I don't really, if Max wins it in the sprint or the main race, he's comfortably going to win it anyway. So I'm not really, because I did like, I asked like a Verstappen fan. So I think there's a mixture. I think some people, I think, feel like it takes away from the,
you know, you win the championship, you can finally rip the band-aid off, but then you can't just go and get like shit-faced and
on
a post Sunday.
Yeah, it was funny, wasn't it, at time? Like, do you remember Toto Wolff just getting absolutely just trolleyed?
What, after 21 Abu Dhabi?
Yeah. Because did they win the construction?
Yeah, they won the construction.
Right? So he was just getting trolleyed regardless. Yeah. Like, he didn't even give a fuck.
No.
About anything. He was like, I earned my drinks this weekend. I want them. I've been through an emotional roller coaster. I'm getting the gin in.
Yeah, he took it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Bless him.
But you can't really do that on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want Max Verstappen failing the breathalyzer test in the morning.
No, exactly. You don't.
No.
But I mean, would have won the championship anyway, so he can just sit it out.
Yeah, true. Yeah, actually, yeah. Because then you can get the full day. I don't feel like Qatar is really the place to
just give
to grab flash, though.
It looks like Lawson's not going to be in a seat next year.
Yeah.
And so maybe, you know, just give Lawson Max's seat.
Yeah. Like the George Russell Bahrain situation. Cameo. Where it's just like, let him, hopefully, I mean, well, George didn't win that race in unfortunate circumstances, but...
I should have, shouldn't they? Really?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's the plan.
We'll see.
Christian, if you're watching, get Liam Lawson in the Red Bull. Just for Qatar, Kevin.
Mm.
I know what you thought I was going to say, but I'm down there for a second.
There is, I don't know. I feel like, let us know in the comments below what you think about the sprint championship decider. Mm. But you say like Qatar's a, I think McLaren will go well in Qatar. Good high speed corners. It's a bit of a bike racing track.
Yeah.
So it's going to punish. I think the Williams is going to struggle. I think the Haas always struggles. So I'm expecting good things from McLaren, but I do expect him to wrap it in the sprint.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, the Red Bull is just the best at anything. So unless Max breaks down, I think. Mm. What are the permutations, by the way? What's he got to do to actually win the title?
I don't know.
I get the feeling it's one of those where he's just got to basically outscore Sergio by... Because the thing is, in... sprint, obviously there's not as many points handed out, there's not as many gaps between points. Get 8 for winning, 7 for
second, and then whatever. It's one so down each time.
I feel like maybe he'll need a bit of a Sergio Perez disaster class, but we're never usually too far away from a Sergio Perez disaster class, so especially in his current form.
Sorry, Checo, but the truth is the truth.
Yeah, there's not as many hairpins, I don't think, at Qatar as there are maybe there's only one hairpin in Japan and he managed to hit people there. I'm trying to hope that maybe he's not
true.
Many opportunities to get into.
Well, look, I mean, it's Sergio Perez in 2023, so you know. And again, look,
it's so weird, isn't it, that Sergio Perez has become a meme driver this year?
That's what
I don't think I could never. Think
how long
seen
he's been in the
coming.
Sport for?
Yeah,
as well.
That's probably the latest character arc to being a meme driver ever. Like, usually you start meme-wise and then maybe you develop or maybe you don't. You know, the Grosjeans and Maldonados kind of went two different ways. Mm. Maldonado kind of stayed a meme driver with his sparks of brilliance, and then Grosjean started a meme driver and then got his shit together and became a bit more of like a well-respected, well-rounded driver.
And then kind of went back.
And then went back to being a meme driver again. Mm. And Sergio Perez has had a whole career of just like being the calmest guy out there, and then suddenly he's decided to...
That's what I mean. He was the way he was considered, even though, you know, yes, a bit of a pay driver at the start, like helped him get that opportunity at Sauber. But I think on merit, I mean, he was in the McLaren, remember?
He was good in junior category.
Didn't have a good time in the McLaren.
No, yeah, V. Jensen. It wasn't a good McLaren.
It wasn't a good McLaren. You're right. And eventually, you know, finds a home at Force India, builds a stellar reputation. I said this about Checo. You know, I do think, you know, this stint is how he will be remembered.
Mm.
Yeah, it's the most recent stint of his F1 career.
Yeah.
And it's the most high profile stint of his F1 career. So that is a bit of a shame. I think that is a shame for Checo. But ultimately, look, Max is dominating. He's walking it this year. And I did want to talk a bit about that because, have you seen, it was a report from BuzzRadar put out last week, I believe, about F1 statistics, viewership.
Viewing numbers, yeah. Now, I don't know the ins and outs in terms of the actual, like, numbers, like whether it's like, is it?
Well, I do.
Yeah, give it to us because I know it sounds.
So basically, so it's looking at the conversation. So how much is F1 being spoken about online?
Mentions on Twitter, for example.
Yeah, exactly. And basically looking at all the data, and they've collected data since like 2013 as well, like combed really like compelling numbers. Basically from 2021, in the first 5 months of the year, the first 5 months of each month,
impressions, reach, audience, whatever, was about 3 million. And then it doubled in 22. Mm-hmm. And obviously the excitement of Leclerc Verstappen, new regulations.
Off the back fans. Of Abu Dhabi.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was about 6. And now it's down to about just under 2. Mm. So the question is this a problem? Is this something that F1 needs to intervene to change? And then obviously it's used other statistics from previous years. So 2017 versus 2018, Lewis won the title much more convincingly in 18 over 17. You know, is it something we should be worried about, or is it just part of the sport when it gets dominated sometimes, which happens?
Can I just say, I think one of the most important numbers, I think, here to judge whether this is really bad or not is the, say, impressions number. Is it lower than when it was in sort of like 2018, 2019, before Drive to Survive?
No.
Okay. Then it's not that. Because I think we talked about 2021 as like the perfect storm, like the perfect peak, which was off the back of Drive to Survive, a show that got casuals involved and really interested. And a lot of people, like, you know, for instance, when I was growing up, I think there was me and one other Don in my class in school that actually watched Formula One. Mm. And fast forward to now, you know, my core friendship group, out of like a group of like a Facebook group chat of like 12 people, 7 people or 8 people know what the fuck's going on in Formula One, like, regularly. So it's a big sport now. So that culminating with a season where 2 drivers go into the final race of the season, level on points, and then all the drama that ensues off the back of that is the perfect storm. Then you get the perfect low of all these new people expect that to be the bar every season, when in reality it's not. Mm-hmm. That is just the best season of Formula One that any of us have seen, like, in our lives. So obviously then going to get a bigger drop off. Mm. I think it's just natural because you had that crazy culmination of things coming together. If it was lower than the times in like 2018, that would have been a problem because that was obviously pre-Drive Survive, pre some more casual fans getting involved.
Yeah, and social media's matured in that. That's what, 6 years ago. Like, it's changed a lot in that time as well. Just the platforms and the teams posting their own content as well. Yeah. The teams, like, never had control. Like, when they didn't have go in on their socials, they didn't have control of the media kind of narratives like they do now, because they can put out their own statements and all that. I think that inevitably, when sports get dominated, the thing is, domination F1 is kind of different to other sports though as well.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, it took a long time coming, but I've just been watching over the last week, Last Dance on Netflix. Mm. And you look at like Chicago Bulls and their most dominant season, 95, 96, they won 72 of 82 in the regular season, 82 games. They still lost 10. Loads of those games they won, they only just won. Mm-hmm. Maybe like a 3-pointer at the end or whatever. Like, the margins were close in a lot of those games. Yes, there were a lot of games where they just walked and were dominant completely. Mm-hmm. But, and I think, you know, with football, you've got matches going on all the time, which is like City just got beat by Wolves. Like, you always get those giant killings that pop up, and there's so many different opportunities for individual pieces of entertainment. And with F1, there's more time dedicated to FP1, 2 and 3. Like, FP1, 2 and 3 is like 3 hours. Mm. Well, qualifying plus the race is usually about 2.5 hours. So actually, most of the time is like, there's either not a race on because there's only 24 races. I'm saying relative to other sports. And then when we actually do go to F1, most of the time is spent practicing, which I'm not complaining about. I'm just saying that when this kind of dominance does happen, it really does affect, because there's just 24 events that everyone's participating in the same event. It's not like you've got, you know, at each race you have 10 head-to-heads of like one driver against each other. And then, you know, if it was like head-to-heads, and again, I'm not suggesting it, I'm just saying how this is different.
Yeah, it's different to any other sport.
To other sport.
Sense. Yeah.
So when this domination happens in Formula One specifically, it really does affect the product more so than other sports.
Yeah. And I think, again, because of just like, it's not just Red Bull have the best car. It's that Max Verstappen is the best driver on the grid. Red Bull have the best car by far. And that combination of Max is so much better than anything else that anyone can provide. Mm. Like, again, like we said, if it was just 2 Sergio, again, I'm not trying to rinse Sergio Perez here, but factually speaking, if it was 2 Sergio Perez's, we would have probably had, I want to say, about 4 or 5 different race winners this season.
Oh, yeah.
At least. Maybe five or six. Like Lando probably would have won.
Yeah.
You obviously would have had Checo. You would have probably both Ferraris at some point winning both Mercs. Like, it's actually been pretty competitive behind Max.
Yeah.
But domination in Formula One is like, right, cool. This car's 30 seconds quicker than everyone else. If something mental happens, then all right, cool, it'll be different. And also, you know, again, like the football comparison, as a neutral, you can still watch a different game. And the dominant team isn't even playing that day or isn't involved. Like, as a Liverpool fan, I could still watch Man United v Man City. That's a bad example because Man City are the best team in the league. I can still watch like Tottenham v Arsenal, for example, and be entertained, irregardless of Man City being the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't get that with Formula One. You don't get some races where Red Bull just aren't there and you get a race behind them sort of thing. So yeah, but also highlighted, I think.
I think, again, with F1, the nature of what makes it entertaining, the entertainment I get from motorsport, and most fans, I think, get from motorsport, is watching cars in battle, close proximity, together.
Yeah.
Like, so again, so say there's a dominant performance, right? A Lionel Messi masterclass in football, right? And he's pulling madness, and you can watch it and be like, oh my God, like, look at what he's doing. And your attention is on him doing some crazy wizardry with a ball, right? In F1, when you've got Max doing an equivalent, we don't even see him. The camera's not on him because he's just doing hot laps.
Yeah.
And the focus is on the battles. Like, what makes this sport entertaining is battles. Yeah. I can respect Max going really quick in a Red Bull and Red Bull getting there, like nailing their procedures, getting pit stops spot on all the time. But the speed and quality isn't what makes it entertaining. What makes it entertaining is when there's scraps.
Yeah.
When there's battles.
Being Max right now doesn't translate to the average fan of like entertainment.
We didn't see him at Suzuka. Oracle were like, what the fuck's going on?
We only got any sponsor time. It was exactly the same with Mercedes when the car was like on rails.
Yeah.
It's like a scale X-tricks track for Lewis and for Valtteri. It's like, cool, I can respect that so much that you are so unbelievably talented enough to just rags this car around, but to the same millimeter precision every single lap. That is incredible. But ultimately, if I wanted to watch that, I'd just watch practice or I'd watch quali. Like, I'm watching the race now. I need to see some battling. So I think it's obviously within F1's interest to end up with a closer pack than we have this year and have a bit more battling going on towards the front of the field, because there has been battling going on. You've had a lot of different storylines this year with McLaren and Aston Martin's varying pace through the season. But yeah, I think a bit more action at the front is really required for next season. Though Mercedes and Ferrari are hopefully taking steps.
Well, again, I'm hopeful that I don't want the sport to have to interfere.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, all right, we're starting to see, okay, McLaren were very good relative to Red Bull. I mean, there's a lot of talk, so we'll get onto that as well. Like, Mercedes have talked about big changes to their car for next year.
Two side pods on each side.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Which
top pod?
Yeah, imagine a top pod. They kind of have a top pod, don't they?
Yeah, kind
got
of.
The area,
above bottom
the
one,
above the driver,
under the floor,
all the pods,
all the time.
I think Adrian Newey's job is safe, Niren. I don't think you're going to steal that anytime soon, mate.
For fuck's sake, man. I would honestly love to.
I know you put your CV in last week to Red Bull.
You've got to do sometimes, lads. I would love to just one day just try and design a Formula One car, just see what the fuck happens.
Jackin.
See what it looks like. Because I can't even really draw like that either. So I'd just love to see, like, just, you know, when, like in a cartoon or something, when like a drawing just like comes to life or something. I want that. I want to draw an F1 car. It comes to life and I just see how quick it is. It would definitely look like a shopping trolley as well. So
watch this space. That sounds like a good quadrant video, to be fair.
It does,
mate.
To be fair.
You can have that one for free, Lando.
Write that one down.
no, because I think that, well, so there's a quote from Christian regarding Toto saying, I'm sure he's got something that they're working on. There's obviously been quotes from Lewis saying, this needs to be the best 6 months of development we've ever had, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, McLaren, there is no... maybe, I don't know, through ego, whether it's just believing they had a better solution, but there seemed to be this reluctance from Mercedes particularly to converge with Red Bull. And look, again, it's easy to say in hindsight, because maybe
maybe they had reason to believe that they could have exploited more performance from this zero pod idea. But yeah. I think that, you know, again, Ferrari and Mercedes should look very different next year.
Yeah.
2 years, I said this, like, you had to give it 2 years for me. And it's Red Bull have done exceptionally well. You look at the rest of the field and it's super competitive, even after 1 year. Mm. But do you think, who's going to catch, who's going to be the first team to rock up on a weekend with a car that can be as quick as the Red Bull on merit pace? Because we've not seen that for a very long time.
It's the big, big question. Because there's so many teams like in that, that next step, like the next rung of the ladder down, where it's like, realistically, if you nailed your development, if you nailed your research, if you nailed your pre-season, you could maybe make that step and actually end up winning races. You got obviously Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren in there. It's just, you know what it is actually? It's a shame that we started a regs change with a car like that was leading the way quite comfortably. Mm. And I know it kind of happens regularly, but I feel like, you know, the 2009 regs change when Braun came out of nowhere and whatever, obviously they dominated right at the start. But then you actually got half a season and then a full 2010 season where it was just fucking anyone's game.
Mm.
And it is a shame that it's kind of like we're kind of having to reach that point like almost 2 years into the regs change.
And Braun couldn't develop the car.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Red Bull, yes, they've got their, you know, they've got the handicap on the ATR, which is taking a little bit off of it. And that should only start to, because I think there is a compelling case for McLaren. They've got the new wind tunnel now. They've got, they were P6 by mid-season.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot more ATR in the second half of this year relative to Red Bull. Yeah, a lot more
crucial.
ATR.
Yeah.
Like almost double, not far off double it would be. So I think there is a compelling case for McLaren there. Like you look at, they're already on this Red Bull concept. So they're going to develop understanding. Like Mercedes and Ferrari, if they're going to converge on the Red Bull concept, they've not even done it yet. They don't know, like they've not experienced, they've not lived with that philosophy yet.
That is true, yeah. Whereas McLaren have started, they might even reach.
And even Aston Martin are.
Red Bull do as well. With all the ATR they've got.
Yeah. And I think Aston Martin, you know, they came out the blocks fast, but I think that you still can't write them off, especially with Fernando at the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think, again, that sort of diminishing returns thing kind of ends once there are actually returns to find.
Yeah.
And there are now for Aston Martin. Mm. There weren't at the start of the season. They've almost put all of this development and all this increase in pace into one idea. Kind of realize, okay, cool, that was kind of our ceiling now. And then as time goes on, ceilings raise and stuff. And, you know, there's more pace to find. Yeah, I think McLaren is an interesting one, actually.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've always got to back Ferrari and Mercedes to build a good car, because they always have recently.
Mm.
Mercedes, once they actually get their eye on, like, an ideology that seems like it's going to work rather than the one they started with these regs. But yeah, McLaren have more experience with this direction.
Yeah. And it's going
to
be...
I would love to see that driver lineup battling for wins next year. Oof. Goodness gracious. I need that. We need that.
I think that's the thing. I think Oscar's got a good head on him. He's got a very smart head on him.
Yeah, facts.
And I think he would, you know what, like, I know there's been a lot of discourse around George Russell recently.
Mm-hmm.
See, after Suzuka. And yeah, just thinking a bit more about it, I think George isn't playing the smart game, in my opinion. I think he needs to be, ultimately, if Mercedes are that team that can catch up and give, like, Mercedes, understandably, feel like they owe Lewis the opportunity to prioritize Lewis and get him an 8-4 title.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Given what happened in 2021, you can understand why the team, and, you know, he would then be statistically the greatest to ever do it in terms of world titles.
Yeah.
George, his time will come. He's got the talent.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that he's going about it at the moment, and yes, like, who cares what we think as fans, right? I just think internally, the decisions he's making, I just don't think are smart decisions. I can understand it because he spent more time than he thought he should in the Williams, then gets in the Mercedes and it's a fucking shitter.
Yeah, it's not great, yeah.
So I can get the frustration, but he needs to play this smarter for me.
He's got to play the long game, man. He's a young guy. Like,
that's what I believe Oscar will do that.
Yeah, because I think it's just emotional, because like, George, I don't know why. I feel like there's this perception of George Russell. I think it's probably because of how he is, outwardly in like interviews and stuff. And we kind of expect George Russell to be like very sort of like smart, think things through, not very emotional, a Tory, right? Mm. And we just kind of like, we kind of expect that from him. And then when he gets in the car, there's certain little things that creep in team radio wise or just decision making, like in Singapore, you know, or like rash little moves here and there that maybe take us off guard. Whereas Piastri is just like that cool, calm, sort of collected character.
Yeah.
Who you feel could easily deal with a battle, an inter-team rivalry, because he's so focused. He's not going to let emotion get the better of him that easily, whereas George is already letting that happen.
Mm.
Like you said, in a situation where realistically, it's not Lewis bias or anything like that at all. Lewis is beating him in the Drivers' Championship, though George has given him a good run in both seasons now. But at the end of the day, he is the most, he's the more experienced driver. He's the most decorated driver on the grid at the moment. Like, as George, it's blessed, bro. Your time is going to come. You're going to be the leader of this team in like 2 years from now. Just allow it. You know, if you have to move over for Lewis every now and again, then calm. It is what it is. It's the team game. Like, you just have to play it.
Especially when you're not fighting for wins.
Exactly. Like. And I saw a team radio like off the back of Suzuka, and it was like, the caption was like, what happened? And it was, what was it? It was Hungary, I want to say like 2020, and Nicholas Latifi was like doing well or something, and George was like, oh, if you need to sacrifice my race for Nicholas, then obviously do it. I was like, brother, what's happened? What's changed? This man, calm. He might get you like a Nutella sponsorship. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
He just wanted the chocolate spread. But either way, I don't know how it could have changed so much in that time.
Yeah.
I guess, you're fighting for bigger points. You know,
it
matters more.
Look,
he wasn't going to get points that day, so he didn't really care. But like, I don't know.
George,
just be smart.
George has proven, and again, look, you look at, again, Brazil last year. You know, he won that race ahead of Lewis. And this is like Lewis's kind of almost second home race.
Yeah.
Brazil for him. And it would have been carried on that streak of Lewis winning at least one race every season. And George was like, and he delivered. And
Lewis
didn't get close. And you know what, like, George deserved that win. Mm-hmm. Like, he got that on merit. Like, lucky in qualifying for the red flag to come out when it did.
Yeah.
And then he
after
got pole.
Yeah.
Like, he held on to P1 and won the race on merit. So, yeah, it's annoying because he's a smart kid, but also I just don't think he's playing this situation for his own good.
Facts.
You know?
Yeah, it's just for him.
I'm not saying this is like a disgruntled Hamilton fan like complaining. No, I'm thinking of George. I'm putting his chance for a world title first, because yes, if push comes to shove and Mercedes are in that position, I mean, again, they keep tripping over each other because George is just fighting this way too hard. He's racing them too hard, as Alex once said.
But for what it's worth, I did. So what was it that sparked in Suzuka? My memory is so bad, but it was basically like Lewis.
Well, Lewis did push him off.
Did push him off on? Was it on the way through? Or was he defending from George? I can't remember.
He was defending from George. Yeah, George was trying to go around the outside of Spoon.
Yeah,
and was it was optimistic, but I think he was entitled to space, and I think if they weren't teammates, I reckon that's probably getting a penalty.
Yeah.
In my opinion, but whatever. Like, and then that's when George was like, "Oh, we racing each other or the rest or whatever," and it's just like, and again, like, okay, I'll get that. And then at the end, he was like, "Oh, Lewis owes me one because he pushed me off earlier." I'm like, "Bruv, like, no, I'm sorry, like, just what are you playing at? Like, without this team behind you." And look, they've given him 2-year extension, Lewis as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But without this team, like, you're not going to achieve anything. Like, you need this team to be behind you. You need to play the team game. You've got arguably the greatest to ever do it as a teammate to learn from, to build.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think he's not.
Context was important in that situation as well, because when Lewis forced him wide, definitely cheeky, should, you know, that needed.
Yeah, it was over the
line side as well, if we're being honest.
Mm.
They're on the same strategy at that point. When George is holding up Lewis, it's a wrap. Like, he's not. And I get what he was trying to say. He was trying to say, yo, let me stay in front. He'd obviously learned from science in Singapore. Let me stay in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Front, so Lewis can get DRS, we'll create a train so we can net gain a better position here in terms of like team constructors points.
Whatever. That's how he tried to spin it.
But if we're being honest, he just wanted to stay ahead.
Well, yeah, and also
it's just like boss.
Lewis literally
like,
did
not on the same strategy. Yeah,
when Sainz overtook Russell,
yeah,
Russell had DRS from Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he did it, but Russell's tyres were just nowhere. So it strikes me, and him going for that one stop as well. I don't know. It just.
Was that his decision or was that the team's decision?
I believe it was his decision to go for the one stop. And I don't know, it just there's desperation there where I don't feel that there needs to be.
No, not at all.
You know?
It's season two.
Yeah.
It's all right, G. Don't worry. Got plenty of time. I know the Williams
patience.
They wasted a bit, but yeah, patience. That's all that's required. Because how old is he? He's like 24?
Yeah, probably? Like 25, that kind of age.
Come on, brother. It's fine. Don't worry.
And I think, you know, if Lewis gets an eighth, or he retires. Either way, I think we're going to maybe see, I don't know, he's got a 2-year extension, maybe three more years. We'll see with Lewis. I think if he does get eight, then I think he'll still end up knocking it on the head. But
yeah,
I mean, I think building this Mercedes team back to a winning outfit would be a nice way of finishing it off almost for Lewis.
He's got to do a decent job though. He's got to hire a whole new pit crew. Do that. Because
Things
that need to change at Mercedes, not going to lie.
Yeah, I think it's, talking of Mercedes and almost like ex-Mercedes, because, I mean, since James Vowles has left, because he used to get a lot of stick, didn't he, when he was at Mercedes?
Yeah.
For the bad calls, because he was like the,
he was the outwardly tactical man, if you like.
Yeah, and he was the one who, like, the substitute teacher would have to get in on the, and like, everyone would be a shut up. And he's like, no. And I was like, Valtteri abort fastest lap attempt. Yeah. And Valtteri was like, I was just having fun. Yeah. Just quite a good comeback off.
Yeah, to be fair.
But talking of Valtteri, so he's obviously now team principal at Williams. He's come out publicly. And I respect this. Because we've given, you know, I think Sargeant fair criticism. Mm-hmm. I think he's merited fair criticism. You look at how well Piastri, Lawson doing, new peddlers in the sport doing well. He's really struggling against Alex Albon, who's, I think, is great. Do I think he's a top F1 driver? I don't. I've not seen enough to suggest that.
Yeah.
Maybe he is. Who knows?
Maybe he is.
I'm not biased.
Maybe he is as good as Max Verstappen.
Maybe. Just in trolleys. If you do like trolleys around Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Fact. I reckon Alex might be.
You know, what was the, you know, when they, like the Red Bull sponsored event where they got like, they paint cardboard boxes basically. And so,
Soapbox race.
Soapbox. That's a soapbox.
Alex would cook. Flat.
Yeah, facts.
He would cook Max, all right? It would just happen. But
you let this man cook.
Sergeant support from the team principal, the polar opposite of the De Vries approach with Red Bull, by the way,
who didn't even
put out a proper statement after he left. But yeah, I like seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in Williams' best interest that it works with Sargeant because he is their driver. And if it comes good with a good team, I don't think his Americanness helps with the American market much. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of Americans watching and listening out there. And from people I've spoken to, people don't really care. Like, you're not going to care. Like, you care about the people having the interesting stories towards the front.
Yeah.
More so than what nationality they are, generally speaking. So I think it's good to see, and we will see. Because I think as it's looking now, I don't see an upside of them bringing on Lawson. We've talked about this already. You're just developing a driver to then sack him off. So I think this is important for Logan. Mm-hmm. And I just, but do you think has he got it in him, Niren? Has he got that dog in him?
That's the thing. I think, you know what I think it is? I think he's got.
Is it an XL bully or a chihuahua?
Yeah, I think it's what a Pomeranian, it? You know.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, very, very fluffy dog, to be fair. So, like, you know, we respect Pomeranian around
we
here.
We do.
But is it going to get banned from the whole of the UK like the XL bully? Probably not. I like the approach that Williams has taken here. I like it. Little, just, you know, it's all right, lad. Don't worry about it. And we know you keep, you know, losing us a lot of money with these crashes, but it's all right, mate. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You know, you're a rookie, fine. I like that sort of arm around the shoulder approach to an extent. But like at some point, there has to be a bit of pressure because it's not, we spoke about it on the live show or on the pod after the live show for Suzuka, right? And it was like his junior category results are good. He's gone toe-to-toe with people like Oscar Piastri, who we all consider an amazing driver in the junior formula. But once you get to Formula One, you have to do two things. Mm-hmm. You have to show that you've still got the pace and you have to stop binning it like you would in junior formula. If you want to crash in F2 five times a season, it's not advised, but we expect it because it's F2. And there's other people around that want to crash as well.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's up for a scrap.
Anyone can get it.
In F3, especially. F3 is madness.
You ain't making it through 20 minutes without some sort of incident, right? Once you get to Formula One, you've got to iron out those sort of like unforced errors.
Yeah.
Little one collisions every now and again. It's all right. You're a rookie, fine. Little spin here and there or a little accident in quali or in practice, fine. But like, it's too regular. It's getting a bit too much. And it's weird because it didn't really, there was little mistakes at the start of the season, little spins here and there. But now we seem to be getting a big old smack up accident, which it's a bit late in the season to start bringing that into your game.
Yep.
So that's what's got to get ironed out. Because I don't think natural pace wise, he's that far off Albon.
I agree.
One lap pace needs some work. He's getting slapped about in qualifying. But in races where it's been kind of normal, you know, a safety car's maybe brought the field together halfway through. Albon's maybe 12th, he's like 15th. I remember that. I think that was like Hungary or something. Maybe that was the case. And it's like, he's not that far away, but I've not seen a race where he's not had an incident now since the summer break, I don't think.
When
you actually go, oh yeah, he was close to Albon this weekend. And it feels like desperation driving. I think he has got that dog in him somewhere, but it's buried deep, like Yuki Tsunoda's dog. Yeah. It's not been taken out for a walk for like 3 weeks.
Like Minton, when he sees a hole, like he wants to go into the hole.
Yeah, facts.
Digs furrow. Like it's instinctive. Yeah, yeah. So
he's got that natural shape to do so.
Yes. Sargent is in that hole with Minton right now. I think RSPCA. Once you get to F1, it definitely exploits it's a mentality thing, a lot of it as well, right? You can have the talent. You look at, again, Yuki, first year, you know, he was living in Milton Keynes, wasn't having a great time.
I mean, they moved him to
which I understand. Milton Keynes, I mean, look, not too much shade on Milton Keynes, but
a lot of shade on Milton Keynes.
Well, yeah, because it's always cloudy. Yeah, like, it's not the, and they changed what they needed to around him, was finally starting to see this talent, this ability emerge consistently. What did MK Dons do to you? Did you slander them on?
Do you think like maybe that would actually change a lot of drivers' like actual results?
Well,
if you just moved them from somewhere to somewhere else. You just put Logan Sargeant just like somewhere really shit in the UK. He'd be like, he'd maybe stick him
in Grimsby, see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's not going to go out or do anything. He'll just be focused on what he needs to do because there's nothing to do in Grimsby.
Maybe that's why everyone goes to Monaco.
Yeah, facts.
There's something about it that works. Yuki
Tsunoda in Croydon.
Yeah. Oh, bless him.
One of the most aggressive people there.
Yeah, I mean, look, he'd open a restaurant for sure, though.
Yeah.
We know that's coming one day from Yuki.
Yeah, facts.
Absolutely.
Yuki cooks.
Yeah, I feel, he does indeed. No, I feel like it, again, it's in Williams' best interest. The best thing that can happen for Williams, you know, they've already said no to Mick Schumacher, it seems. They've already closed that door. So Lawson again wouldn't make sense from their point of view.
I just say I would love Lawson in that car, but
I mean it would be
because I think he's already proved he's already done more than Sargeant has.
Oh yeah, he's shown more. Yeah,
but yeah, it just makes absolutely. It would be great for us as the neutral, great for Liam Lawson, but it makes absolutely no sense for
Williams. Yeah, if I work for Williams, I wouldn't be making that call.
Yeah,
I would probably. So we've talked about this, haven't we? They could do with a safe pair of hands. I still don't know if they're the right team to be justifying giving all this time and patience to a rookie who's caused, I don't know how many millions of damage to them in a cost cap era.
Yeah.
Where, you know, that's going to hurt you exponentially more than it would have in the past.
They almost needed it to be next season. Do you know what I mean? As in, like, they needed it to be like 2024 where like everyone's contract's up. They could go for like a Valtteri Bottas or something just to like shore up the ship. Because there's not really any like... And maybe give Sargeant like a year out or something. I don't know. It's difficult because you can have the patience, and I'm sure Sargeant will come good. But yeah, they don't really have like when you're down there in that scrap where like every point matters. You can't really have a driver that's throwing it at the scenery every week.
I think I remember Bottas saying that he could have gone to Williams. I think he had that as an offer as well. Almost like a swap with Russell.
Yeah.
But he decided he wanted the Sauber project. He thought that was more interesting. And
not anymore. It's not anymore at all. Like, that's probably the most uninteresting team on the grid now.
Pretty awful, Romero. But we'll see. Look, we'll see for Logan maybe next year. Either way, if it doesn't improve, he certainly won't get to 2026. And there's been a little few more details about the regulations actually as well. 2026 regs from Toby, who's a German F1 journalist. Toby Gruner. Basically, the cars are going to be a little bit smaller, about 10 centimeters off the width, and I think it's about 20 off the length. So they are going to be getting smaller. I don't know if they're going to be getting lighter. I don't think so. I mean, it's 50% electric from 2026.
Boom, yeah.
But I mean, I'm fascinated to hear those engines, what they're going to be like in 26.
Yeah.
But
that's not good. Sorry, that's the sound of it. If you want to nab that sound effect on one, it's there.
That could be your alarm in the morning.
Smaller's good.
Yeah.
Put that one out there.
Smaller cars better.
Depends.
The sense of speed.
It's about what you do with it.
Yeah. It's the man speaking from experience. Yeah.
Don't listen, lads. All right. Because more space. More space to operate.
Feed that one up.
Yeah,
bro.
I don't know about that one.
Ride a cup, Europe. Watch.
Yeah, bow.
Some of that.
It's like, because at the moment it feels like it's trying to get one of the bendy buses that they used to have in London round.
Do you remember them?
Round the Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Like when you go to Monaco.
Yeah.
It's
a bit much, isn't it?
It's a bit much at the moment. So I think the making the cars a little bit smaller is good. Like the comparison from like the early 2000s cars to now is mental.
Crazy.
You could fit the early 2000s cars in like a glove compartment of like the current cars. It's insane.
That's the thing, because the cars, like the actual speeds aren't a mile off what we get now.
Yeah.
But when it's something smaller, it looks a lot quicker, funny enough.
Looks quicker, yeah.
So I think, yeah, visually it looks better. You've got more space for racing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't sound like much, 10 centimetres in 20, but it will make a difference.
Yeah.
It's always going to be like a balance, isn't it? Because There's rightfully a demand that we make these cars as safe as possible.
Thanks.
To an extent. You know, you could make these cars three times bigger, super padded, and then you just wouldn't have any racing. So there has to be like a middle ground where they're still, and hopefully with like new materials and stuff like that, lighter materials, that they can like package this super, super safe kind of monocoque. I mean, the fact that Grosjean could walk away from the kind of accident he had, was testament to the where it's gone safety wise. But yeah, I hope it makes a noticeable difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to some of the racing. Naturally, smaller cars means it's a little bit easier to overtake.
Yeah, but I'm still not. I mean, there's a few. Blake, friend of the channel, we've had on before. I know he's not very convinced by the 26 engine regs at all.
Right.
As a man who probably knows a little bit more wheel than us.
Yeah, probably. Just
a little. I'll give him that. A little bit.
I think we beat him in the predictions, though.
Didn't he nail it? Didn't he get 5 out of 5?
He nailed it one time, but that was...
He's only got 100% success rate. Yeah. Washed engineer.
Expect more, to be honest.
Love you, Blake. No, I think that... I'm looking forward to it. I just... My big concern, you know, is, you know what I'm really worried about, right? This is what I'm really worried about. We get to 2025. The season slaps.
Yeah.
I've got like Fernando in an Aston, Max in a Red Bull, Lewis in a Mercedes, Lando in a McLaren, Bottas in Alfa, I'm joking. Right? Cooking.
Yeah.
What do you mean at the back?
Yeah.
It's not a very nice way to talk about your favourite team,
no? Yeah, no, sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know what came over.
Do all that, banging season, 2026, rules change, back to square one.
Yeah.
Massive field spread, new engines. Alpine have fucked it because they've got shitty Renault engines.
Yeah.
Did we say we'd hold the Alpine slander?
No.
We didn't.
No, we didn't. They deserve it.
We flirted with the idea, but we didn't. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah. It always feels like, I mean, that was 2021, wasn't it?
Mm.
Actually, we got like the best season we've ever had. We had two cars actually level at the front with there was a bit of a gap actually behind them, but like at least there was a title fight amongst two teams. We hadn't seen that for years at that point, like years and years, you know. Obviously Ferrari got a little bit close, but Mercedes was still probably better. That was like level playing field, like both of them on a par together, right next to each other. And then it just got blown apart again. I am concerned about that as well. Because it usually does take about 3-4 years for everyone to kind of like reconvene.
Do you think the regulations need to change as much as they do? I guess the sport needs to kind of keep up with the times, and that's a big reason for the engine changes.
I guess they want to keep things fresh, but I do... you know, the rule change that I never understood in terms of like... I mean, I understood it from like a hybrid turbo... You know, the turbo hybrid era in terms of like, you know, being
road relevant.
Road relevant and trying to be slightly better for the environment and stuff. Totally get that, obviously. But it was so soon after the last regs, and they were, those regs were great.
Mm.
I'm not gonna lie, the 2013 era, there were a couple of seasons obviously where Red Bull dominated, but I don't think we've ever seen a grid that's as interchangeable week on week as that era was. 2012 and 2009 were mental. Like, how are we getting Maldonado just randomly winning a race in Spain out of nowhere?
Was it 2012 when it was like the first 8 races had like 8 different winners?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
You'd never get that now. Imagine we just rocked up and Pierre Gasly was just suddenly the quickest guy on the grid and just won the race.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was.
And it wasn't just like luck. That's the thing. It was genuine pace. So many different cars. No, you're right. And also, around different types of tracks, different teams would be able to exploit their strengths. That's the thing. That's part of the reason why this season has been so dominant as well, is that the Red Bull's quick everywhere.
Yeah, quick at everything. It's good at everything.
Which we've rarely have. Like, you might have a car that excels, but then gets caught out in these specific tracks. The reason Singapore caught Red Bull out was not because of the shape of the track, it was because of the surface,
the bumpy
surface. That's what fucked them. Bumpy surface. But love you, Singapore. Singapore always seems to come around and just give us some,
anyone who's good,
something special
before they get to Singapore.
Yeah,
they're not good at Singapore.
Yeah,
I don't know why it always does that. Mercedes, it was always the same as well. Ferrari and Red Bull were always on there, or Red Bull especially. Was it Daniel Ricciardo? Did he win at Singapore at one point?
Am
I going mental?
Ooh.
I feel like there was one season where Red Bull was better.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Maybe.
Either way.
Maybe.
I can't remember what happened last
year. Either way.
Let alone what happened in 2014, maybe.
We love you, Singapore. Also, well, to wrap, I want to talk a little bit about best drivers of the year. More so, actually, what's more interesting to me, I think, is best drivers of the last kind of what we've had. How many races have we had this year? 17?
Yeah, something like that. 17, 18.
Of this kind of second half of the season.
Right.
Like, who's
pulled it together since the summer break?
Because I think Liam Lawson. Go on, Cook.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It's not a bad shout, you know.
And he only really got here in the autumn. It wasn't even the summer still.
Well, are we talking actual best, or are we talking like most impressive?
Let's do most impressive, man, because best is going to be Max. Or something, really.
Did you just read the championship table?
Most impressive. We'll do Liam Lawson prop in a second. Carlos Sainz.
Facts.
I'd like to give some props to Carlos Sainz for basically deciding, you know what? Fuck the feds. I'm the number one driver now, and actually doing it.
I'm here.
But
I never left.
We'll be there. We will be there. Charles has always obviously been like the sort of the chosen one out of Ferrari.
Had the measure on Carlos at Suzuka.
Yeah.
But
true,
it was relative. It was still pretty good. Like Carlos actually had quite a good race. He kind of fucked it in qualifying.
Yeah, facts. And I think rightfully Charles had that sort of that been on a slight pedestal. Carlos Sainz is a great driver. Mm-hmm. Obviously Charles has come through the Ferrari Junior program. He's naturally just going to be the guy that they want to maybe preferably see go for a championship if possible. And overall, he's had some bad luck in previous years. He was the one to take it to Max in the first half of 2022. Totally get that. But Sainz, since the summer break, has cooked. Even that just performance at Singapore alone was one of the smartest drives I've seen from anyone in Formula One in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
In terms of just like having the presence of mind to go, you know what, right? I can use Lando as a bit of a buffer here.
Yeah.
Let me just keep him in DRS, drag him along, and no one can overtake me. Boom. Easy. I'm surprised no one's done that before. Because we've not really seen that before. No one's actually tactically gone, you know what, fuck it, let me start a DRS train to win the race.
Yeah.
And yeah, overall, he's just had, apart from Suzuka, kind of had the measure over Charles, pace-wise.
Yeah. And that's
brought
like...
together in quali as well.
And that's quite the achievement.
Yeah, because Charles is a fucking great driver. So.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think Carlos is... impeccable shout. I think who else? I mean, Max goes without saying.
Yeah.
I think even without like Singapore, he's still race pace wise, he was doing all right. Red Bull could well have been on the podium at Singapore. If not, Max could have still ended up winning that race if it wasn't for the timing of those safety cars.
Yeah, facts.
The fact he was able to pull that back so well and still got fifth was pretty impressive. So that's not, you know, people jump, Red Bull fucked up on setup. That was kind of what caused that in the end. Yeah. I think Max is always going to be, I'm just trying to think like lower down the grid.
Daniel Ricciardo's hand.
yeah, for
well
sure.
Did well whilst Daniel Ricciardo was using it, and then it created it did. Liam Lawson's rise. So
yeah, you know what?
Overall,
the butterfly effect.
Yeah, facts. Two separate storylines there that his hand has created.
That's it. And he's got a seat next year, so it's all kind of worked out.
Exactly.
And he might be, well, I've seen Lawrence Barreto talking about if Red Bull do have enough for Checo next year, that it would be Ricciardo who would be the first priority pick to go alongside Max.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I'm just like, if you're already thinking about it, why don't you just do it at the end of this year?
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
Like, is it going to get any better?
If you've already Checo's decided it's a priority, then just...
It's mad to me that Checo, at the end of this year, would have been at Red Bull for 3 full seasons. 3! And this is the worst it's been in that 3 seasons relative to Max or his independent, like, individual confidence-wise. I think this is the worst it's been.
Oh, yeah, easily, yeah.
Like, he did, like, well, he did the job. He still wasn't very close to Max in 21, but he did the job he needed.
In 2022, he actually...
had his moments.
Yeah, but looked a lot more consistent than he looks now.
But the troughs are so deep
this
year.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Qualifying, even the racecraft recently, he's fallen off a cliff.
All right, so someone I want to talk... We keep digressing. Our minds are so like...
Have we finished the segment on who's been the best driver, or like best drivers second half of this year?
No.
Okay, so carry on then. I have 2 more, so it's okay.
Oh, you've got 2 more?
Mm-hmm.
Cook. I'm thinking maybe... I think K-Mag's improved.
I agree, but I think...
Has he actually been that great?
Mm. I think he's definitely improved.
Hard in that Haas.
But it was one of those where it was like, if he didn't improve, we might have to get him out of there. Just overall, like, so it couldn't really have got much worse, but he definitely has.
Yeah, he's
comparison to Hulk.
He's definitely getting on top of that car.
Yeah, fact.
A bit more now.
Yeah.
Which is good to see. I'm just thinking, who else? So having a look at the championship table.
Piastri and Lando.
Yeah.
Piastri especially, I think, has been really impressive. Since the summer break. Got his little podium. What we're talking about. Got his podium in Japan.
Piastri's been very impressive.
Again. Yeah, I mean, overall, rate. All season, generally speaking. But since the car became good, it seems like he's really taken it up a step as well.
Yeah.
So,
and I think like Lando's pace was very, very good in Suzuka.
Yeah, facts.
Very, very, very clear.
I don't think it was Oscar's pace was bad. I think it was just Lando's pace was mad.
Yeah,
mental.
Yeah, I think.
Or maybe
Oscar
like a
did.
Slight combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first time Oscar's ever been to Suzuka. So,
yeah.
But I think, yeah, let's not underplay how good a job Lando's doing. All right. So, Sainz, Verstappen, Norris, Piastri.
Lawson, Ricardo's hand.
Lawson. Well, that's six with Ricardo's hand.
Yes. Well, six, five and a half.
I think those five, minus the hand, are good shouts. What order would we put them in?
I'd probably...
Fifth Lawson because he's only had like...
He's had a couple races.
Yeah. So, but it's been super impressive.
Is Magnussen involved in that fight?
I don't think he's Magnussen not, okay, quite right. makes it for me. I think then probably...
Do we say Max fourth just because it's like what we expect, or is that really harsh on him?
Yeah, we are saying impressiveness. I mean...
There's a lot of things that go into impressiveness.
Yeah.
He is extremely impressive, but it's just been a continuation of what's happened in the rest of the season so far. But I suppose then you're just a victim of your own success, really. So
yeah, suffering from success.
Yeah.
I think I would put... I think I'd put Piastri probably fourth.
That seems harsh.
Do you reckon?
I'd put him like second, I reckon. I'd probably put him above Lando, which I know sounds mental, but just purely off the back of the fact he's a rookie. Lando's obviously like had the measure of him, generally speaking, but like, you know, to go toe-to-toe with him.
Lando's been so good though. I think I would do Lawson fifth, Piastri fourth, Norris, Science, Norris, Verstappen first.
Verstappen's first.
Yeah, got her. Come on. This is crazy what he's doing right now.
Yeah, no, facts.
This is crazy. No, when you actually deep it, this is mad what he's doing right now.
No, it is. But I'm always the voice of the underdog. So in first, like that. Kevin Magnussen. No. In fifth, I'd probably go... I'd probably go Liam Lawson as well, but stellar job from him coming in.
Yeah.
Like racing... three times and
yep.
sick every time. Fourth, I'd probably go for... Ooh, fucking hell. He's actually close. Maybe Piastri fourth, actually.
See?
But Max third. This is actually fucking impossible.
Like, and you know what? As soon as this one puts Norris first... Yeah. Quadrant bias. You know your bosses. You're like Fernando Alonso, man.
I know.
Every time he's like, oh, Lance Stroll's going to be a future world champion. He knows who pays the bills. You know who pays the retainer.
I put Science first. If he'd beaten Leclerc and Suzuka, I think I'd put Science first, but I don't think I can.
I'll put Norris ahead of Science. I think Science is, of course, he got the win, but like Lando is like every race... He's cooking.
All right, fine.
Every race.
My arm. Right. Max fourth, because I'm the voice of the underdog. Right. Okay. Chat, Max done an amazing job, but this is impressiveness. This isn't like one lap mad ting pace on iRacing. This is, I've been impressed by you already. Let me give the others a chance. Third, Piastri. Second, Science. We know who pays the bills. First, Lando.
Fuck there you it. Go.
Feds, man.
Bosh.
Fuck it. But sorry, they've
end of year bonus for you, Niren.
Get in there. Get in there, Lando. Dreams really do come true.
Well, that's our five. If you're watching on YouTube, let us know in the comments below. Your five most impressive drivers for this second half of the season.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, maybe like post-summer break. I think there's some... Science is the most obvious switch because start of the year was... But he's very good. Rest, but
yeah, definitely. Let us know your top five down in the comments section.
Should we wrap it?
Indeed. Boy,
Qatar this weekend. You're not going to be here.
I will not be here.
So we're going to get the troops in.
We will indeed. Yeah.
To
waffle in my absence.
Yeah. Sprint weekend as well.
Indeed. Yeah.
On a Saturday. Where can the people find us? Even though if you've got to this point, you've probably already found
you. I would love to imagine you've already found us. If you didn't know already and you're listening on audio platforms, then first of all, you can give us a 5-star rating. You can also check out our faces on YouTube, where if you go and find us, make sure to like and subscribe. There's plenty of clips going out on this channel and also some short form content going on TikTok as well.
Bosh.
We're everywhere, basically. We're on the back of your fridge as well, back of your fridge freezer and in the second drawer of the freezer. But only if it's made by Bosch, unfortunately.
Wow.
Bosch.
Very niche. Love that.
Indeed.
Thank you all for watching, wherever you are in the world. And we will see you for the Race Watch Along Qatar Grand Prix on Sunday.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Bye, ya.
See ya.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.